Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to help you tonight. Take your Bibles to Numbers chapter number 3. Numbers chapter number 3. And we'll read several verses. I don't normally read a long text because I'm not a very good reader. But I'm going to read several verses here tonight in Numbers chapter number 3. And when you find your place, you can stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. And we'll begin in verse number 39 when you found your place. Here's what the Bible says. All that were numbered in verse 39 of Numbers 3 of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered, at the commandment of the Lord throughout their families, all the males from a month old and upward were 22,000. And the Lord said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. And thou shalt take the Levites for me. I am the Lord. You'll notice there's a parenthetical statement that's given to us. And the Bible tells us that the reason for all of this, if you will, is because He's the Lord. And you got to understand a lot of things in the Old Testament they were doing, they didn't fully understand why they were doing them. And the Lord would give these parentheticals, if you will, hey, I am the Lord. You're going to do all this just because I'm God. And we don't always understand everything that God wants us to do. Sometimes we just do what He wants us to do because He's God and that's what He said. So we see that parenthetical and goes on, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel and the cattle, in verse number 41 of the Levites, instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward, of those that were numbered of them, 20,213. And the Lord said, spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece by the pole after the shekel of the sanctuary, shalt thou take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. Thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and his sons. Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. Of the firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money, 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. In verse 51, and Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege to be in church. Thank you, God, for the privilege to stand and open the word of God for a few moments. Now, you understand that I stand where the arm of flesh has and will fail me. I pray now for these few moments, God, would you illuminate my heart and mind. God, would you open the hearts of these young people? God, would you touch the hearts of these, Lord, seasoned saints? And God, these middle-aged, and Lord, would you help us to leave, God, this place better than we came? I pray for that one that may be here. They've never been saved by the grace of God. They don't know yet. I pray, God, you would deal even now, yeah, distinctly and specifically with their heart, and draw them to a place of repentance. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Now, I've read several verses here to you about what we're going to understand to know as how God is counting and He is setting up, if you will, the work that's going to go on in the tabernacle. And you'll understand, according to verse number 45, that the Levites, the Bible said that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of. And so then when we get down to verse number 48, we find the first time this word is ever used in your Bible, and the only time time this word is ever used in your Bible, and it's this little word odd, this little word odd. And so what we find here, if you will, is there's a group of people that have no substitute. And what's going on in this passage of Scripture is the Levite is stepping up to take the place of the firstborn. But there's too many, my friend, firstborn for the Levites. And so there is a odd number. And so here for just a few minutes, I want to preach, if the Lord would help me on this thought, there's no substitute for surrender. There is no substitute for surrender. And may I just say to you tonight that there is no substitute. You can, my friend, live your life through others if you want to, but there is truly no substitute for submitting your life and surrendering your life and giving your life wholly unto God. Amen. And so here in Numbers 3, we understand in this book that there is a journey that's about to take place. We're going to learn about the failures and the faithlessness of the nation of Israel. We're going to learn about the faithfulness of God. There's a lot of things that takes place as we journey through this book. But here in our text, I want you to understand a few things. By way of introduction, I'll give you the thought. First, I want you to understand the counting that goes on. There's a couple of counts that are taken here, or senses, if you will, and one of them is of the Levites, and then the other is of the firstborn of the children of Israel. And so these numbers are very important, as I've already said to you. And we know that God's original plan was to claim every firstborn of the nation of Israel to serve Him. He had chosen them. But something interesting takes place here, and there is a substitution that is made for all of these firstborn. And so that substitution is made by a Levite. There's a Levite that steps up and takes the place of these firstborn. And you understand, the Levite, they had a calling. Not only is there a counting going on, but there's a calling that's going on. We understand that the Levites had a very specific calling. They had a calling to submit to the priest in verses 5 and 6. They had a calling to serve all of the people in verses 7 and 8. And then they had a calling in verse number 10 to stand and to protect. They had a responsibility to keep the wickedness out of the tabernacle. The Levites had a great job. They had a big job. They had a calling that was placed on them. They needed to submit to authority. They needed to serve the people, and they needed to stand when nobody else would stand. And they've stepped up to the plate now and become the substitute for these firstborn. And so God, He in His mind, He chose the firstborn, and He chose them first to submit and to serve and to stand. But now, because of the heart of the Levites to step up in the economy of God, this, my friend, task is now given to them, given to those Levites. You see, the firstborn, they would have done it. They would have served because of their birth. But the Levites had decided that they wanted to serve because it was in their heart to serve. Can I say to you, it's one thing to serve because you've been born again. But it's another thing to serve because it's in your heart to serve, because you've submitted your will to the God that saved you. And the Levites step up in the midst of all of this, and they say, I'll tell you what, I don't want to serve just because I've been saved, but I want to serve because it's in here to serve. I want to serve because deep down inside there's a desire to do something for the God that has called me out of darkness into light. I want to serve because of my heart. And so that's why they step up, and God chooses these Levites. Now notice these numbers, if you will. There's 22,273 firstborn. There's 22,273 firstborn. But then we see that there's only 22,000 Levites. And so there's where we find that in verse 48, there's an odd number out. And so there's 273 people that have no substitute for them to serve. 273, small number. And we don't know a whole lot about this group of people, this 273. But can I just say to you that I'm competitive enough that if there was going to be a group selected that was my friend 273-odd, I would want to be a part of that group. Amen. But we don't know a whole lot about this group of men. We don't know a whole lot about their ages. The 273, we don't know if they were teenagers or if they were older people. It could have been a little 16-year-old boy, or it could have been a 40-year-old. I don't know. We're not given a whole lot about this group. We don't know their backgrounds. We don't know if they were rich or they're poor, or they're educated, if they're simple or influential or obscure. We don't know. We don't know about their status or tribe. We don't know even how they were selected. There's no mention of casting of lots or criteria of being a part of the 273. We just don't know. We don't know about their personalities. We don't know about their talents. We don't know about the roles that they play. We don't know much about these people. But there is one thing that we do know. These people, these 273, they stood in the gap when there was no substitute. They surrendered when there was no substitute. These people were different. Yes, they were firstborn, but they decided that in their life, somehow, some way, they were going to be unique and odd, if you will. So, some simple things that we do know, I'm going to give you three about these folks, and I'll be done. I'm not going to preach very long. I don't know if I got it in me. I need to rest up for in the morning. Y'all going to come back in the morning. Amen. There's three things I know about these folks. That's 273. First thing I know about them is they were saved. I know they're saved. Because if you go back, it's a very familiar story. You know it. There was a dark night down in Egypt, and there was a death angel that was going to be passing by. And these 273, now there's another 22,000 that are just like these, but these 273 specifically, there was a night when the death angel was going to be passing by, and that death angel had a very specific job, and that was to look for the blood. And he said, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over. And so he comes down through Egypt's land on that dark night, and he's looking for one thing. No doubt there was probably some young boys that were worried. They were afraid. And no doubt there's probably some young boys that probably wasn't too upset. They were comfortable that daddy had put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and they probably went to bed and they slept like a baby. Either way, it didn't matter, because when they got up in the morning, because the blood had been applied, they was all right. Amen. They have made it through the night. And so one thing that I know about these is they were washed in the blood, if you will. They were covered by the blood. You say, preacher, I want to be part of the 273. I'll tell you, the first thing you got to do tonight is you got to be saved by the grace of God. You got to be washed in the blood. You got to be redeemed. Amen. And can I say to you, that's the first base. If you don't get that one, you won't get any of the rest of them. You got to be saved by the grace of God. I remember when I got saved. I was a 13-year-old boy at the Faith Baptist camp in Resaca, Georgia. Never will forget it. I'll tell you one of the biggest things. Is this thing going to scream at me if I move around too much? I'll tell you one of the biggest things I remember. You're good, youngin'. About when I was lost, Brother Granville. I was raised in a Christian home. I knew the Bible. I probably learned, to my shame, I probably learned more about the Bible, brother, when I was a kid before I got saved, than I have my adult life. Because Mama made us learn the Bible. Mama made us study the Bible. Mama made us memorize the Bible. And so I knew a lot about the Bible. We'd go to meetings like this. Can I just say, I mean, that's been 25 years ago. I'm glad this is still going on. Hey, I'm glad this is still going on. Hallelujah. I remember going in meetings like this, and the preacher would get up, Brother Edwards, and he'd say something like this: take your Bible and go to Luke 16. And I remember as a lost boy, son, that gripped my heart, because I knew what he was fixing to preach on. He was fixing to preach on hell. And I knew I was lost. And I'd sit there scared to death the whole service. I'd sit there and fight conviction. I'd fight God working in my soul. 13 years old, I didn't know everything there was to know about it, but I knew enough to know what God was doing in my heart. He was drawing me to a place of repentance, and I didn't want to go. I didn't want to surrender my will. here's what I remember that night when I got saved. And I slid out, went to the altar, gave God my heart, and He saved me, changed me. Not one time since then, Brother Jeremy, have I walked into a meeting like this and sat down. The man of God said, take your Bible to Luke 16, and me get scared on the inside. Not one time. Listen, I've doubted. I've struggled. There's been times I've looked in the mirror and said, hey, ain't no way you're saved. There's been times that I've thought to myself, oh, why in the world would God have anything to do with somebody like me? But I'm telling you, there ain't never been a time that I've walked in an old-fashioned meeting and the man of God preaching on hell that troubled my soul, because I know deep down inside that I've been covered by the blood. I've been washed in the blood. And can I say to you tonight, if you want to be part of the 273, you got to be saved. You got to be saved. Got to be saved. I don't know, but I know there's no doubt in my mind, in a crowd this size, as good as everybody looks in here, you're dressed up nice, you look fancy, you look like you got money you probably don't have. Amen. I speak from experience, y'all. Somebody ain't saved. When they sung that song tonight, I'm not going to hell, you sat there and your heart was troubled. Your heart was troubled. I want to be different. And I want to make a difference. But if you're going to do that with me, you got to be saved. You've got to know that you know that you know that you're born again. These folks, they could be counted in this number because they were saved. Young people, there's no doubt in my mind all across this auditorium and in this choir, you want to count for something, don't you? You want to count for something. You want to be something. You want to count. The only way you can count in this life is if you've been washed in the blood. There is no amount of money. There's no amount of fame. There's no amount of good times. There's no amount of, my friend, sin or wickedness that you can do to make yourself count. The only way you're going to count is if you've been washed in the blood. And the only reason these folks counted in this text tonight is because they had an encounter with the blood that had covered them on one dark night down in Egypt. They counted because, did you know that before we got saved, we were not a people? You know what that means? We didn't count. We were not a people. Oh, but I'm glad that now we count. We're somebody now. These folks, they counted because they were covered. They were called on because they was covered. And then I see this. They not only were saved. You want to be part of that 273? You not only have to be saved, but you need to be separated. You need to be separated. You're going to be part of the odd group. You got to be separated. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The 273 weren't satisfied with borrowed service. If no Levi will take my place, I'll step up and I'll serve God myself. Listen to me and listen to me well tonight. Their separation wasn't about rules. It was about relationship. I love all the rules. I believe in the rules. But if all you've got's rules, you ain't separated. You got to have some relationship. Can I say to you, they were marked by their devotion more than their distinction. If you're talking about being separated, don't talk to me about how you dress different, how you look different, how you act different, how you don't cuss, and how you don't drink. You tell me, how devoted are you to the God of heaven? Because if all of that doesn't go back to devotion, can I say to you, it's nothing but a bunch of Pharisaical mess. They were surrendered in personal responsibility. These 273 were surrendered in personal separated in personal responsibility. They refused, think about this now, they refused to live their lives vicariously through a Levite. They refused to live their life through somebody else for God. And can I say to you, I'm thankful for a full house on a Monday night. I'm thankful for young people all over the house that has a smile on your face and you're excited to be here. But can I say to you, I'd say if we took a poll and it was a true poll and we knew for sure, they probably ain't but about 10% of the folk in this building that are actually wanting to do something for God. You just want to come and you want to sit on the church pew and you want to say, that's my Levite up there. I tell you what, he sure is a good singer. And that's my Levite over there. And I'm telling you what, he sure is a good Christian. But can I just say to you, I refuse to live my life vicariously through anybody. I want God to use me. I want God to use me. You ought to want God to use you. They were separated through surrendering to personal responsibility. 22,000 firstborn. They were content to just sit and enjoy the service. There was 273 that were different. They stepped away from spiritual substitutes. There was no more outsourcing of their obedience. Did you know this tonight? If you don't do it, somebody else will. You say, well, preacher, I tell you what, I just ain't going to do nothing. I've been upset and mad about this, that, and the other. And I just ain't, that ain't going to stop what God is going to do in these last days. He will take your blessing. He will take your obedience. He will take your devotion and your spirituality. And he will bless someone else with it if you're willing to let that pass you by. They stepped away from spiritual substitutes. No more outsourcing of their obedience, no more delegating their devotion, no more second-handed spirituality. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Say, what does that mean, preacher? That means you need to put some work in yourself. It's not good enough to lean on your Sunday school teacher. And thank God for good Sunday school teachers. It's not good enough to lean on your pastor. It's not good enough to lean on your youth pastor. It's not good enough to lean on those that are farther down the road than you. You need to work some things out for yourself. Don't outsource your spirituality. They were set apart by peculiarity. There's that word odd in verse number 48. The odd number of them. You're not peculiar because you wear a tie. You're peculiar because you walk with God when others won't. That's what makes you different. It ain't because you dress nice. It ain't because when you go out to the restaurant on Sunday afternoon, everybody looks at you and says, well, there's somebody that's been to church. That ain't what defines peculiarity. What defines peculiarity is a young person that'll say, I'm going to walk with God whether somebody else does or not. I'm going to have a relationship with God whether anybody else does or not. I'm going to serve Him for myself. I'm going to be separated. You don't fit in if you've been set apart. You don't have to worry about all those rules and regulations. If you got a relationship, all that stuff will find its place. Don't just separate your closet. You need to have some convictions. Don't just clean up your music. Won't you clean out your mind and your mindset? It ain't just about removing bad influences. But it's about renewing the inner man day by day. You can remove all the bad influences you want to. And if you ain't careful, you'll become the bad influence if you don't renew the inner man. They sought God for themselves. Then I'll give you this and I'm done tonight. They were saved. They were separated. But I believe these folks were satisfied. You say, "Preacher, why do you think these 273 were satisfied?" I'll give you a couple things. First, I believe they were satisfied because they were okay being the minority. They were okay being the minority. There's 22,000 sitting over there waving their hands saying, "That's my Levite. That's my Levite." But somewhere there was 273 that weren't a part of them. They were an odd group out, and they were okay with being the minority. Can I just tell you tonight, church? Can I just explain to you, young people? You're going to have to be okay with being the minority. You're going to have to be satisfied that it's okay to be weird and odd in the eyes of the world. You're going to have to understand if you're going to be satisfied, you're going to have to be a part of the mind. You want to know what's a lot of this issue that we see going on even now, Brother Donathan, within the independent fundamental Bible believing Baptist movement, where they're walking away from things that we've known as old time religion and we've known to be right, and the men of God that blazed the trail before us pointed us to, and the Spirit of God moved and worked. I tell you what the problem is. There's a dissatisfaction with being a part of the minority. There's a dissatisfaction with not being in the big crowd. There's a dissatisfaction with the 22,000 that we want to go join. Can I just say to you tonight, I want to be a part of the 273. I want to be a part of the group. My friend, that's okay. Be in the minority. I'll be a part of it. I'll be the small group. I'll be the one in the back. I'll be the one that stands out and looks weird and looks odd. God, help me to stand fast. God, help me to stay faithful. And young person, you should want God to do the same thing in your life. They were okay being the minority. They didn't need the crowd to feel confident. Think about that, young people. A lot of you, if I was to go down through here and talk to each one of you, Brother Donathan said, "Don't hurt yourself," before I ever got up, and I said, "Too late." So that singing had me fired up. I knew it was too late. But if I was to say, go down through here, you young ladies, young men, do you feel confident about yourself? Do you feel confident about it? Some of you might say yes, but I would venture to say that if you were honest, probably about every young person in this group, just out of natural course, would say, "No, I'm not confident within myself." And then I would say something like this: how many of you have found yourself around people that you looked up to and that you admired, and when they accepted you, it made you feel confident? Most everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about. Like, "Yes, preacher, I know what it's like to have my peers accept me, and that gives me confidence." If you're going to be part of the 273, you're going to have to learn to be confident externally, if you will, from the crowd. They didn't need the crowd to feel confident. They just needed a cause that was worth committing to. We all have that tonight. Then I'd say this to you young people: satisfaction, here's another thing satisfaction do for you. It'll silence your insecurities. Satisfaction will silence your insecurities. You young people are insecure about different things. I'm still a young preacher, but I'm getting older. I'm still insecure about things. I'm insecure about how big and strong I am. Just ask Brother Don. Sounds like three of y'all got that. Like three. I'm really insecure about how strong I am. Let's move on. But satisfaction will silence your insecurities. If you'll get satisfied with what's going on here tonight, that'll fix a lot of your problems. They were willing to give more. So this is another reason I know they were satisfied. They were willing to give more. Not only were they willing to be the minority, but they were willing to give more. There was a redemption price that was paid that the rest of them 22,000 never had to pay. And then they were eager to step up personally. They didn't outsource their obedience. They didn't delegate their devotion. They weren't looking for someone else to carry it. They said, "We'll step forward." I don't know how the process went. It's not, there's, like I said, there's not really a whole lot given to us about it. I don't know how the process went. But I know somehow out of 22,273, there was 273 that were different. Somehow, some way. We know they were saved. We know they were separated. We know they were satisfied. I'm going to give you this little illustration. Now, y'all bear with me, okay? My wife has brought me my belongings for this little illustration here. Is anybody homeschooled? I'm closing with this. Anybody homeschooled? Bless y'all's heart. Bless your heart. We'll pray for you. I was homeschooled, so I know. All right. Well, when I was in school, we didn't do those fancy experiments because, number one, we didn't know how to do them. Nobody told us how to do them. And if we had done them, we'd have probably hurt something, broke something, and we didn't have no insurance. We lived out in the sticks. It was terrible. Brother, I'm not going to get this on your pulpit, I promise. I wouldn't do that for nothing, but I just want to show y'all a little experiment that I remember from when I was homeschooled. That means you went to school at home. It was really cool. I might need a little more than that. But I remember we did this little experiment in school. Mom said, get your cup, and we're going to fill this bowl up with water. We're going to fill this bowl up with water. And then we're going to stick his cup all the way in the water, and ain't no water going to get in the cup. And I thought, hey, that's really cool. This is the kind of stuff you learn when you're homeschooled. I'm telling you, I was deprived of a lot. All right, so I've got a napkin in this. This is not a spit cup. You bunch of redneck boys need to get rid of your spit cups. I'll just hit that on my way through, all right? But if you need one after church, I've got two up here. They said, we're going to take that cup and put it all the way in that water. And ain't no water going to get on the inside of it. So we took that cup. And she said, now stick it straight down in there, all the way down in there, all the way down in there. And then pull it back out. But you look. That's dry as a bone. There wasn't a bit of water got down in that cup. Now, some of you that went to public school are blown away right now because you have never seen this in your life. And you're like, I missed out. I've always wanted to get y'all with something. Anyway, I got to think about this experiment. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Some of y'all are surrounded by the best of the best here tonight. You're surrounded by it. It's all around you, on every side. But ain't none of it getting in you. Everything I preach tonight, ain't none of it getting in you. Brother Brandon, ain't none of it getting in them. They are saved, but they're over there with that 22,000. Ain't none of it getting in them. You say, preacher, how do you know they ain't none of it getting in them? Because, watch this. There's resistance. That's how I know. There's resistance. Ain't none of that water getting in them. And I know that because that cup's pushing up. It's pushing up. It's pushing up. And the reason I know that some of you young people, some of you young ladies, some of you young men, the reason I know that this old-time way's not getting in you is because there's just that subtle resistance. Just that subtle resistance to it. You're not out in sin. You're not doing wicked things. There's just a pushback. Just a pushback. But then, this looks awful now. I've got that paper all wet. But then we notice something. That cup's down in, ain't nothing getting in it. It's surrounded by water. Ain't nothing getting in it. But if I'll just take just a little bit and turn that cup, son, it'll start filling up. And it won't just fill it up, Brother Edwards. It'll pull it down in there. It'll pull it all the way to the bottom, Brother Jeremy. So here's my heart tonight. I know there's some resistance. young person, you look at all this tonight and you think, I don't know. I know I'm saved. But this surrendering and this separating and this giving God your all and putting it all on the altar, lock, stock, and barrel, selling out to God, I just don't know. Here's what I'd ask you tonight. Just a little bit. Just turn your heart toward it. Just turn your heart toward it just a little bit. If you'll just turn your heart toward it just a little bit, let it get in you. It won't just fill you, Brother Granville. It'll just pull you down in there. And you'll be able to have a root system that'll stand when nothing else will stand. I know you're surrounded by some of the best preaching. You're surrounded by the best singing. You're surrounded by the best Bible teaching. You're surrounded by all of the best. But some of you, it just ain't getting in you. And tonight what you need to do is say, Lord, I don't get it all. I don't understand it all. I don't know what the preacher means when he talks really about selling out and giving it all to you. Does that mean I'm going to have to do something crazy that I really don't want to do? I don't know, Lord. And there's some resistance, and I know there's some resistance. But God, if you'll help me tonight, what I'll do is I'll turn myself towards you just a little bit. I'll turn myself toward all of this that's going on around me. And God, if you just get in me and feel me, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do if you'll just help me to do that. I don't know. Young person, we're not living in a good time to be a young person. I get that. I know that. It's a tough time to be an adult that you feel like you're on solid ground. You feel like you're a mature adult and Christian. It's hard. So I know how easy it would be for you to be blown about, tossed like the waves of the sea. And I also know this, that's no way to live. Won't you just turn your heart toward him?